So as you can see, we had a miserable time on camp, and no one wanted to be there, and you're all itching to get back to school in the morning, or not, as the case may be. Well, really, you know, you've got to say, the food was amazing. Are our cooks in this morning? Yeah, okay, Joyce is there, and Moby, and Kev. He's away. He's on some cooking tour somewhere. We, you know, wonderful time. You know, you've got to say that, you know, to get the right food at the right time. My highlight was the cooked breakfast. When I went to camp, this was quite a baggy T-shirt. I think it's because Mrs. Neal has washed it and it's shrunk in the wash. You make your own mind up. Wonderful camp, great food that we ate, but also great food that we received through Rosie. And Rosie gave us some really wholesome Bible teaching. And there was much for us all to think about, much for all of us to kind of eat upon. And the dishes she gave us, as she said earlier, there were four dishes that we looked at. And we're going to briefly look at those four dishes. And all of those dishes required all of us to make a response. And that is Jesus, isn't it, through and through. As we are presented with Jesus, we have to make a response. And even if you think you're not making a response, by that, there is a response. We'll come on to that in a moment. So first of all, this morning, we had the kind of scene that most of us are familiar with. That scene that we think about at Christmas, the Nativity. And we looked at specifically the Magi, or Maggie, as some of the children called the Magi. And as we looked at the Magi, those three, what traditionally are called three wise men, we saw those gifts that were given. Those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Each of them looking at a various aspect of the life of Jesus. But just imagine, let's think of those characters behind those gifts. Intelligent men who lived far off, who had faith to follow a star that led them to Bethlehem. And we're told, and this is what Rosie told us, we're told that as they saw the baby Jesus, their gifts in themselves showed that they had faith and knowing that he was significant, that he was no ordinary baby. But there we have described that he fell at the Lord Jesus's, the baby Jesus's feet. That is quite a response. Quite a response to recognize there is something in this baby unlike other babies. So that's the first scene, the first bit of food that we had. Secondly, we had, moving from the stable, we moved to the palace as we looked at Pilate. And Pilate, you see, a very intelligent man again, and yet he could not make up his mind. He was sworn by the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the crowd. And as we looked at Pilate's encounter with the Lord Jesus, his indecision in itself spoke volumes for him. He would, as we said, sit on the fence. He sat on the fence. And that was the decision of Pilate. Quite interestingly, ultimately, we see Jesus' name on that cross. Jesus, King of the Jews. So there's Pilate. Thirdly, we had the two criminals. The two criminals that were sentenced to death either side of the Lord Jesus. The one criminal, as he looked at Jesus, looked on, and all he could do was to ridicule, was to make fun of Jesus. If you're the Son of God, he said, you can come down. You can come down from that cross. And then the other criminal on the other side of Jesus knew there was something special about him. And Jesus gives this wonderful promise, doesn't he, to the criminal that saw that there was something special about Jesus. He said, "Today you will see me in paradise. You'll see me in paradise." And the children were told that because Jesus died, we too can believe in Jesus. And the promise that Jesus gave to the criminal is the promise that each of us can receive, that we too can know the Lord Jesus and be with him. And then the last scene, which is the scene that is Rosie's favorite story, is that scene of the Lord Jesus having breakfast with his disciples post-death, which we call resurrection. Amazing. It's an amazing story. And we have the description of Jesus with his disciples, and it's a wonderful meeting of friends together. And we see again how the response of the disciples was that they knew that they were in the company of their friend Jesus. Their friend who was alive and is alive forever. Four responses to Jesus and meeting Jesus. So we had the various responses. The Magi who worshipped, Pilate who sat on the fence, the criminals where one believed and one ridiculed, and then the disciples who saw Jesus for who he really is. And that in many ways sums up people in our society today, don't they? Some will worship, some will ridicule, some will sit on the fence, some will know that he is the risen Lord Jesus and that they can be friends with him. And so my appeal, my question this morning is, where are you? Where are you in the response to Jesus? Do you worship him? Do you make fun of him? Do you sit on the fence? Or do you live for him and know that he is your king, that he has called you to be his friend? Well, in Colossians that Lily read for us is a big, weighty Bible passage, some really difficult words. But within that there, we have a little insight into who Jesus is. It's a great book to read. Read that book maybe when you get home. But we're told, if we want to know God, we look to Jesus. The words show us that Jesus was before the world, and he came into our world. And as Rosie showed us on the holiday, he holds the world together now. This is the Jesus. This is the Jesus that made himself nothing to come to this earth, to become as fragile and vulnerable as a baby, to be put on a cross. This is our Jesus who holds the world together. Jesus, the perfect man, gave up his life. And we see in that reading wonderful words throughout. But listen to these words. Jesus, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the promise that we have peace with God, not because we're good enough, not because we're nice, although we have some wonderful, nice young people who are part of Spectrum. But you know what? Even Spectrum had bad moments. I know Helen said they were wonderful, but you know, there were things going on. There were things going on. You see, because what happened is I was in the room next to the boys, and the walls were paper thin, really paper thin. And some of the things going on in that bedroom, sweets at midnight, chocolate at 2 o'clock, fun and games at 5 o'clock. Well, I hate to imagine what happened with the girls. And that's just a little insight, isn't it, for all of us, the things that go on. But we're told that we can have peace with God because of this Jesus that we have met on Spectrum Camp. Rosie told us that we have an allergy. We have an allergy. Now, I have an allergy. Some of you have allergies. I have a few allergies. I have an allergy to, I have hay fever. Anyone else have hay fever? Yeah, hay fever. It's horrible, isn't it? It started now. I have a dust allergy. Anyone else have dust allergy? Yeah, I have to keep Mrs. Neil on the Hoover. So we've got a dust allergy. And what's the other one? What's the other one I have? Oh, yeah, cats. Yeah, I have cat and allergy. So apologies if you have cats, but I can't stand them. But we have all have various allergies. And Rosie showed us that we're born with an allergy. And the allergy is against God. The allergy, the Bible calls it original sin. But all of us, our default is to be like some of those people that we met on camp. We have the allergy of doubt. We have the allergy of ridicule. We have the allergy where we say, we know better than you, God. We're born with it. Rosie also gave us the illustration that we're born blind, literally, of seeing Jesus. And we need to ask Jesus to remove that blindfold so that we can see Jesus for who he is. Because on our own, we won't believe. On our own, we will have those doubts. On our own, we will ridicule God. We will ridicule the Lord Jesus. But Jesus wants you to meet him. In Eugene Peterson's message, listen to these words of what he says. Familiar words to many of us from Revelation 3. Look at me, Jesus says. I stand at the door. I knock. If you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and I'll sit down to supper with you. He wants to have supper with all of us. The Lord Jesus is calling now. He calls out throughout the whole of the Bible. He spoke at the camp. You see, we cannot sit on the fence. We have to make that call for who Jesus is. I'm going to pray now. And if you want to pray this prayer, please pray it. And the prayer is for us to see Jesus for ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for sending Jesus to be one of us, to be a human, to be a baby. Father God, we thank you that Jesus lived a perfect life so that he could be the only one that could be our sacrifice that gives us friendship with God. We thank you that not only did he die for our sin, but he died and he rose again, that he has defeated our greatest enemy. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus wants us all to be his friend, that he is knocking. Father God, I pray that people here this morning would hear that call, that they would open the door, and that they would invite Jesus in for supper.